The Justin Robert Young Podcast is brought to you, as always, by the contender, the game of presidential debate. All right, guys. Contender. It's a great game. We all love it. You have an opportunity now to do a few fun things. You can buy, for the last week that it's going to be on presale, the 2016 expansion that gets here within the next 14 days, as we are being informed by our manufacturer. And so if you want it as soon as you can humanly get it, you need to get it now, because it's, you know, it's going to be rocking and rolling. Number two, if you like free cards, go ahead to our Facebook, facebook.com/thecontendergame. And you will get a chance to get a free print and play this week. We're going to put out a free print and play of cards that were taken from candidates leaving the race. It's going to be super fun. So go ahead, sign up for our Facebook group, and buy the game. It's super fun. A bunch of people bought it at the live show. I think it's the greatest thing ever. You guys, listen, if you like card games, you like playing, you know, it's going to be the game of the summer. I'm just telling you now, don't be left on the side of the road. And, of course, by patreon.com/JURY, we continue to inch ever closer to our ability to do the In Your House tour. We are back up. We've rebounded from the beginning of the year, the beginning of the month, and now we are back on the march to 700. We only need $82 more. $82 more. If there are 82 people listening, all you need to do is a dollar. All you need to do is go ahead, 80 people, put in a dollar. 80 people who are listening, up their pledge by a dollar. Listen, I'm not going to be a super stickler here. It ain't got to stay over 700. We just got to kiss 700, and we can finally set up this In Your House tour. And I'm letting you know, that the competition there is fierce. So, yeah, if you like the show, you want to support it, go ahead and head on over there, patreon.com/JURY. But enough about talking about the show. Let's go ahead and actually do the show. Guys, this is a hard show to do. I don't mean like this show, man. I'm not talking about Jury. I'm talking about this show, the one that's happening, being recorded on May 8th, 2016. This show is hard to do. Why? God, why not, man? It's been a busy weekend. Real busy. So, uh,
I'm going to gut this one out for you guys, right? This is how much I love you. And I mean you personally. You listen right now, man. I love you. Because my voice is kind of wrecked. I've been doing nothing but talking. Brian was not on Weird Things today, which I record on Sundays before this. So it was Andrew and I, which of course means that Andrew and I are going to get into some gigantic conversation about Civil War. The movie, not the concept, or the military event that tore brother against brother in America. Not that Civil War. The one with Captain America. And, yeah, I have zero. I have like, what you guys, we are going to Motussin this year episode of Jerry. Because normally, man, I got a barrel full of hijinks. I got a barrel of monkeys. The elixir is thick, sir. I don't know why I wanted to add that on. The elixir is thick, sir. But today, oh, just a thin film at the bottom of the bucket. That's what my enthusiasm is. That's what my voice is. But instead of just laying down and saying, hey, mister, you deserve a day off, we are going to splash some water in that bucket, shake it around, and see what we get out of it. On this episode of the Justin Robert Young Podcast, we're going to talk about that live show, some fun moments that will not be part of the show, but we're there kind of around everything. I'm going to give a little shout out to my moms, because it is Mother's Day after all, and we have I have a question on whether or not YouTube is the last stand for comments as we know them. So, let's begin with the live show. Thank you to everybody who came out. We had so many people that listened to this show that came out for the Night Attack live show. Thank you guys for supporting us. This was a very big experiment. And it was one that hopefully turned out well. It's very, very odd. It's hard to wrap your head around the idea that this was just a show. Because what we had been used to doing was doing shows at conventions, doing shows at places where people already were. So this was supposed to be different than that. This was supposed to be a different kind of experience. And yet, yesterday, what was amazing was that all of a sudden we realized that we did a 5-hour convention, except it was just our show. Like, there was literally just everything that normally happens at a convention happened at this show. People flew in from across the country, all the same groups and friends and everybody, like all of a sudden all that showed up. We had like the same problem where, you know, you walk into a restaurant and they're like, oh, how many? Oh, I don't know. About 18. We have 18 people. And they're like, what? You know, at a convention, though, sometimes people are prepared for that. The best restaurants always are. We dropped a convention on an unsuspecting Oakland, California. It was just like its own weird kind of vibe. The love on display was just something transcendent. Like, I have no idea. I thought I knew what we had built. I thought I knew, or San Fran, Oakland. We wound up, I just said Oakland. We dropped it in Oakland because the restaurant that we actually ran up on with 18 people last night was in Oakland. We thought we knew, man. We thought we were going to get, like, you know, 50, 60 people. We had 100 people. We were flirting with capacity in that venue, their stated capacity. That was like, we were like getting into fire marshal territory based on everybody that showed up. So listen, the show was the show. I thought it was really good. I thought it was really funny. I think we had enough big highlights. There are some real fun surprises if you want to watch it fresh on Tuesday. I think the live stream stayed up well enough that people could at least hear the audio really, really well. The video was there, but a little choppy. So hopefully we'll continue to refine that process and make it better and better. But I want to just kind of, I set all this up with the idea that there was so much love was because there was one really, really funny moment. There was one amazing moment. Now, you guys know that the highest form of flattery and love that I am capable of showing with my friends is, if not mockery, levels of humiliation, right? And so we have this great show in here. Actually, I got some pictures here from Captain Fubar was the man with the cam last night and took some amazing photos. If you want to see these and you're just listening, then go on over to Reddit.com or Reddit.diamondclub, or sorry, diamondclub.reddit.com or reddit.com/r/diamondclub. You can watch the video feed, of course, at diamondclub.tv on Sundays. But we're having a great time, and here are some pictures of afterward, with just like great times. Everyone's having a blast. Again, this is a con kind of feel, just a bunch of people hanging out. We camped out in that venue for a solid 3 hours, right? It was a party. And then one moment happens. One moment. One beautiful moment. And it is, as I'm walking out, we had finally made a exit strategy, and we're like, all right, here, we got to get out of here. Because that's always, again, another con problem, is that, like, it's so easy just to hang out with everybody all night, and you want to do that, but you also have to do things like eat, right? You have to do things like separate yourself so you can actually like catch your breath and get your body back to normal, right? So Padre SJ offers to drive Brian and I back to Oakland. And we are making our way down out the front of the bar. And all of a sudden, and again, we've got people from across the country. We got people that have driven in from hours to come see the show. It is very, very flattering. I've seen faces that I've seen maybe once or twice, or I only know their Twitter avatar, but I feel like I know them like a brother. And then all of a sudden, right there, is as I'm on my way out, is Roger Chang. Roger was not at the show. Roger was not at the bar for the hour and a half that we had hung out after the bar, after the show. It was like 6:30 or 7 o'clock, and Roger shows up. And he just has this bewildered look on his face. And he's just like, hey, man, what's going on? Great to see you. And he's just like, I thought the show was at 7. And at that moment, man, I felt for him. I felt for him so bad. All I wanted to do, because again, this is like, this is love, right? This is all us kind of coming together. Very communal feeling. Everybody's having a good time. Everybody's sharing stories. Everybody's pouring their hearts out. Everybody's saying that no matter what, in this random moment of life, at least we have landed here. The tumblers on the padlock of our existence have all aligned on this particular sequence. But I can't give up this opportunity, man. I got to go. How far did he travel from? He lives in San Francisco, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But it does mean that he was only, you know, probably a 4-minute Uber ride away for the entirety of the show. That also means he probably didn't check his Twitter, right? Because his Twitter would have had cross-pollinated references to the show going on in pictures. And he would have been like, oh, wait, snap, I got to go. Because he rolled in thinking that the show was about to begin. And in that moment, I wanted to reach out to him. I wanted to talk to him. I wanted to say, like, hey, because I don't get a chance to hang out with Roger all that much. He's actually going to be moving sometime soon. So my time with Roger Chang is precious. Precious, I tell you. Like the novel by Sapphire. But I couldn't give up that joke, man. I couldn't give up that joke. When you're being led out of the building by a Jesuit priest, and Roger's face is like, what the hell? You just gotta be like, sorry, homie, deuces. It's just too funny. It was too funny of a moment. It was just like, I couldn't stay there. I couldn't, number one, I couldn't make it better. I can't turn back time. I can't find a way. If I could go to the place that hurt you, I'd say. That's not the lyrics. But, oh, man. You just got to chuck up the deuces. Sorry, buddy. I'm out. Anyway, my priest is leaving, so I'm going to go ahead and hit the road. We've got a hell of a show, man. I'm going to talk to you about my mama in 2 seconds. I'll be right back. This is the Justin Robert Young Show. Mother's Day. Mother's Day is at hand. Is Mother's Day a global thing? Does everybody have Mother's Day? Is that an international thing or is that an American thing? Can someone figure that out? Yeah, even if it is, you know, Stacey in the chat room says it's a Hallmark thing. I mean, like, yeah, sure. But, like, even then, even if it's a Hallmark thing, like, you know, it's kind of a sweet thing, right? It's nice. I think the concept apparently is worldwide, but the specific day varies. So, apparently in England, they have Mothering Sunday. God, it's such an English way to fart up Mother's Day. Mother's Day, perfect. Whose day is it? Mother's Day. Mother, here's your day. Mother's Day. Oh, so brilliant, lace you English folk. Mothering Sunday. Like, it doesn't even make sense, man. Is that the only Sunday where you're going to mother? You know, all these other Sundays are going to be motheringless? No, I mean, that doesn't make any goddamn sense, Mothering Sunday. Yeah, come on. Come on. Get it together, England. I'll tell you who's not British. My mom. Her name is Gloria. She is my hero. I've talked before on this show about some of the more kind of nitty gritty heroic elements of my mom, but I want to give her some big ups here. I want to make something just absolutely clear, right? I want to make something just crystal. If you don't believe you can do something, I want you to just find my mom on Twitter, at GlowBugYoung. I'm not kidding, because my mom loves being a professional mom on social media. Like, honestly, I don't know what it is, man, but she is key to my Facebook algorithm. Because whenever I go on Facebook, within the first four posts, there's somebody I know that is doing something in their life, or something good has happened to them, or they're posting some of their work or something. And that number one highlighted comment is my mom. It's Gloria. Great job. You're the best. Oh, she's so beautiful. Like, just, she's a professional mother. It's insane. It's insane. Now, the reason why I say if you want to believe that you can do something, hit up my mom, is not because she is traveling around all corners of the internet buoying self-esteem. It's because she is a living example of somebody who didn't wait. She just did it. Didn't wait, just did it. My mom did not graduate the four-year degree. My mom went to school, Florida State University, wound up not finishing. She got into the workforce at a fairly young age, met my dad, and then began having a family. Every element of what happened before she got with my dad and what happened after she left my dad was a study in one absolute clarion ability for her. And that is to not wait, just do it. Not wait, just do it. Just get a job. Just go get a job. Go get a job right now. Start doing the best that you can. If you don't want that job after you've done the best that you can at that job, then get another job. Look for another job. Take another job. Find another job. You know, there's the old adage, don't tell me about the labor pains. Show me the baby. My mom is a results-driven woman. She just gets stuff done. And this is not to say that this is a magic pill. Something my mom taught me is like, when you say in your mind, like, hey, don't tell me about the labor pain, show me the baby, that's got to be an internal idea. And really all that says is that, like, don't mythologize your struggle. There's plenty of time to eulogize your struggle. Don't mythologize your struggle. Because my mom never mythologized her struggle. And boy, she could have. And boy, I do. I tell her story as if she had descended from Mount Olympus. Because to me, she's a hero for doing things like raising two boys by herself when she has a psychopath jerk-off for an ex-husband and father to the kids. Slick-tongued, mealy-mouthed some bitch who will do nothing but erode her connection with her boys. You know what kind of patience that takes? What kind of dedication that takes? What kind of clear-headed, eyes forward, let's just focus on what's important kind of resolve that takes? I know some of you do because you deal with this yourself. I know some of you do because you are exactly in the position that my mom was in. I know some of you do because you were raised by people like my mom. I know some of you do because you were involved with women like my mom. But at the end of the day, all my mother has done is what she has known is best for her family. And she knows that what is best for her family is to set an ethic that needs to be maintained. And I, every day, hope that I can bring honor to her name. I hope that I can bring prestige to her. I hope that she looks at my legacy as her legacy, because that truly is what I am. I am just trying to make myself something she can be proud of. And, you know, listen, this is an emotional subject for me because you know, my mom is, you know, it's hard to explain. It's hard to quantify. It's hard to even put it into words, man. But she's the Alpha and the Omega. She's the answer to every problem. She's the Rosetta Stone. She's the Tower of Babel. I raise my glass to Gloria Young. I raise my glass to Carolyn Young, my brother's wife and mother of the next generation, Jackson Young. Because of the standing that my mom has in our family, mothers are a very cherished element. You know, if we were to start a society, we would be a matriarchal society. She is our George Washington. And I just want to say that, you know, and I don't want to get into some big gender thing or whatever, because I know a lot of people look at that in a lot of different directions. And I think what I'm about to say here is going to be uncontroversial. Moms just have to inherit a lot. They've got to bear a lot of pain. They've got to be the glue when they might not want to be. And ultimately, I can only wish to you in your life that anybody that you deal with, either, you know, on families you are starting or families that you have had, that you have had the privilege to have somebody like Gloria Young in your life in a authoritative capacity. Might not be your biological mom, might just be somebody else that has given you guidance, that has given you an example, that has given you something that you hope to strive for. So there we go. Salute to Nona Glow. Toast. We'll be right back with comments about other things that aren't my mom. I love you, Mom. I never really got the phrase mama's boy. Like, I never really understood that because, like, I don't know. I mean, like, listen, I obviously, I just did that segment, man. I revere my mom. My mom is extraordinarily important to me. But I never really got into the idea of mama's boy. Like, I'm just down with Chloe. Like, I'm just down with my mom. Like, I don't know, like, if that's, like, a enough of a thing. Like, I'm not, like, into all moms. Like, some moms suck, man. Like, you know. Some moms are, you know, not all moms are created equal. Mother's boy, I don't know. Mama's boy. I guess I'm a mama's boy. Man, I was going to do this whole thing about feedback on the internet and how YouTube might be the last great comment frontier. I got to save that because we got to do something that's a little less heavy. Like, because I just went, like, I feel like I'm just like this big gaping open jar of emotions and feelings, man. This has been an emo episode of the show. There has been literally, like, not a whole lot of me just, like, taking out my comedy pistols and, like, you know, like, shooting over and over and over again. So let's just go to your emails. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com is where you send your emails to me. Tristan writes, "You awesome bastard, you. Such an entertaining story last week. I, too, have felt the euphoria imparted by traveling through airports from city to city, especially at night when the general crowd of the airport isn't there and you somehow seem more important. Sitting in fancy airport clubs, getting served drinks by well-dressed, often good-looking people, overlooking grand cityscapes, and feeling like the captain of industry traveling from city to city on someone else's dime. And to go from that to the poor old drowned rat standing naked in a cold communal shower having to scrounge for body wash. Oh, man. My heart went out to you in that moment. And yet, at the same time, I don't think I ever laughed so hard in my life. The picture of you painted in my brain in the dorm in the communal shower is just hilarious. You bring great joy and entertainment to my life, man. Keep up the good work.
Now, normally I just don't read comments or emails that are just straight out compliments, but sorry, man. We got a very, very, very lovey-dovey show going right now, and I needed Tristan to be a part of it. So thank you so much. I thought that story was good, too. I knew I told it on Night Attack as well, but I felt like it deserved a monologue treatment because it was definitely a reckoning that I absolutely needed to deal with. Here's what I want to talk about. Crunchy. Well, I'm going to read this story by Big, or this feedback from last week's episode from Big Jim, and then I'll get to Crunchy. Big Jim says, last week you said C's get degrees. It's okay unless you're going on to advanced education. I would argue on this point, and here's why. When I was a hiring manager not too long ago, and we were looking to bring fresh people out of school on board, we did look at their grades. To us, it showed a level of commitment and a level of follow-through. Now, that being said, we didn't always take the grades into consideration. If you had a 2.8 GPA and you were also active in other things or held down a full-time job that you quantified on your resume, tip, kids, put that on your resume, then we took that into account. Just remember that the GPA does matter with some businesses as they treat this as a checkbox to consider you further in the process. All right. So when I say C's, let me qualify this. Last week, I made the point that C's get degrees, and they do. They will give you a degree, and by and large, unless you are in one of these situations, you don't need to worry about what your grades are coming out of school. But I feel like there's an unspoken element of this that I need to very much flush out. Like, C's don't get degrees. If you're not doing anything else, if you were in college right now and you are just doing nothing but like watching Price is Right and getting high, then hell yeah, you need to get straight A's. Like you have time, you have an ability to do it. Study hard, study long. Get baked, study. Get drunk, study. Have a great time, snort some Adderall. All right, now I crossed into a different line. Do cocaine. No, don't do cocaine. I mean, like, it's fine. Like, they can do it, right? I'm not going to single out. Have a gay experience. I mean, like, you know, I mean, maybe, I don't know, that's healthy, right? I mean, that's, why am I equating gay experiences with cocaine? Like, just tell them, stick to the script, man. Just say that you want them to be ambitious. Do heroin. Don't do heroin. Like, okay, if you do all that stuff, it's not like you're a bad person. You're not damaged. Everything is going to be fine. You are in an experimental phase in your life, and that's great. Crystal meth. Like, all right, let me reset. You can, if you want, do cocaine, alcohol, meth, heroin, and have a gay experience, and coke. You can do all those things, and that's fine. As long as you get straight A's, this really got into a weird place. I don't know where we're going, but we're going to keep following it. So, okay, get A's. Get A's in school. Get A's all the time if you're not doing other stuff. Here's what I want. Here's more what I want to say is I give you permission to get literally the bare minimum to scrape by. If you're doing other things, in fact, you want to know what looks better on a resume than your GPA? Relevant work experience. Get an idea in your head of not the job you want to do forever in college, but rather a job you would like to do the year after college, right? Make a business for yourself, boy. Set some goals. Make a fat diamond out of dust and coals. Just go ahead and have that idea of what you want to do. Again, the year after. Very soon, right? Like, just immediately. Because all of a sudden, that college faucet's going to turn off. And all the coke and heroin and crystal meth and gay experiences and booze and pot. They're all going to stop as much as they were going on before. And you're going to need a job. You're going to need to do something. And you're not going to want to move back in with your parents because that's like it's not going to be the best thing. So just do something in the same vein of what you would like to do the year you get out of college. And if you're doing that, then yeah, whatever.
This world is not for you. That world of academia, man, it's just window dressing so you can put something on your resume. Like, make it work for you. In fact, this is my big, larger point with college. You are college's master. College is not your master. You work and abuse college as hard as you can. Because goddamn are you paying for it. You demand things out of college. If college says you should really get a better GPA, you say, no. No, college. I'm going to do what I want on my dime. That's what I'm going to do. Now, by the way, on Mother's Day, I'm sure if my mom does listen to this, this is where she's yelling at her iPhone and just saying, like, no, you really should have gotten better grades, because she always hated how I didn't get better grades. And she's probably also texting me right now, did you do meth and have a gay experience in college? No, I didn't. I'm just trying to explain to everybody in a clear and concise, easy to remember sentence. You can get gay on crystal meth if you have straight A's. And you can, I don't know, get gay and be on crystal meth and also have another job and get C's. I guess the constant of being gay on crystal meth is probably, you can take that out of the equation. I don't know how any of this became a part of what I was trying to say, except I do very much believe that you need to focus on what you want to do and get it done. Do not let college trap you. Do not let the culture of academia make you believe that college is like high school. High school is you being led by the nose. College is free form, and if you are not taking advantage of that, you are wasting it. Like so much crystal meth tumbling down the drain of somebody of the same sex that you're about to bang. All right, let's go to Crunchy. Ever since, Crunchy had a point about the Dear Elders video that I was critiquing a couple weeks ago. She made the point that, listen, there are people out there who are worshiping Kardashians. Yeah, absolutely. Fine, man. Like, and there are people that, you know, get drunk and drive their kids to school. Like, it's a wide world. A lot of it ain't pretty. We can just move on from there. She does point out that there's somebody else on YouTube for whom she wants to discuss. Ever since her Dear Fat People video, Nicole Arbour keeps popping up my Facebook feed. While most women would seem to think she's crazy and kind of C-auntie, a lot of my guy friends seem to have taken quite a liking to her for obvious reasons. While I agree with a lot of what she says, she makes some valid points. She is pretty harsh and seems to follow the singling out a victim and wounding them insult comedy that you mentioned in quite an unfunny way, in my personal opinion. But she just put out a new video about why dating is effed. She goes over how dating has been taken over from the hanging out and or taken over by the hanging out, quote unquote, and chill, quote unquote, approach. Can't disagree there. The part that gets me is how the rest of the video is based on how you can't pretend to admit to liking another person or text them or say you enjoyed their presence without being called crazy. I'd like to think that this only applies to her because she seems like she would fall into that spectrum. My coworker and a few guys who posted the video, on the other hand, swear that this is all so true. Is this a real thing? I was out of the dating scene for years and years, and I may be out of the loop. If it is, it makes me glad that I roll with an older crowd, especially when it comes to dating. Being the insecure, socially anxious twat that I am, it's a necessity to pretend like you think I'm a cooler, funnier, more likable person than I am. And I'll be damned if they decide dates aren't important. If by chance they couldn't afford it, I'm worth sacrificing a single meal out for themselves that month to be able to afford mine. And it's not like it has to be anyplace fancy, so that's not even really costly. Everyone should feel like they're worth at least that much. So let's go ahead and just take a look at a little bit of the video that she is talking about. This is Nicole Arbour. End the video, Why Dating is Effed. Oh, crap. Hold on. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute, you guys. I forgot to stop the music. Here we go. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Nicole Arbour and why dating is effed.
Hi, human. Wanna, like, human with me a little bit? When a guy used to want to date a girl, he would ask her on a date. Show up at her house, probably with flowers or something. They'd even say hello to her father. I'm gonna bang your daughter within the next few dates, probably in my car. But I'm gonna look you in the eye, because I'm a man. Yeah, that was dating. Guys would plan things. It was an event. It gave girls a reason to get dressed up and smell nice and have a new outfit and feel all pretty and get girly. Yeah, yeah. At work, most of us girls basically have to act like dudes now. When we go on dates, we want to drop the workness and girl up. When girls feel pretty, they want to put out. But dates don't fucking exist anymore. Netflix.
All right. So that's, we can keep it going in the background. So let's, number one, here's my thought about here's my thought about Nicole Arbour. I think Nicole Arbour is an exceptional editor. Whoever edits, if she edits her own video, I'm going to assume that she edits her own videos because most YouTube people do edit their own videos. I think she's a great editor. I think she does a really, really, really good job of building her arguments by way of a visual language, and especially for that vlogging kind of just face up to camera kind of stuff. Like, she doesn't do a lot of costuming work. Like, she achieves a lot of it through, like, black and white. And I think she's really, 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 really good at it. She's really great at framing. And that's pretty much, like, the most positive thing that I can say about Nicole Arbour. I think she is a funny person. I tend to not necessarily agree with a lot of the stuff that she says. But, you know, hey, again, different strokes for different folks. Life's a rich tapestry. As far as the dating thing goes, I don't know if anything's necessarily worse, right? Like, I do agree that, like, if somebody can't muster up a meal, and I mean on any level, right? Like, if somebody likes somebody and you can't muster up spending any kind of money, even beyond gender lines, then yeah. Like, I mean, I guess, if anything, I feel like if your point is that nobody does this kind of stuff anymore, then what you are really, really saying is that, like, you will be easily able to find the person who does, right? Like, in the land of the blind, the man with one eye is king. So if all you have is a bunch of croc-wearing Netflix and chill meathead Mongo McMichaels, and all of a sudden somebody comes by and actually shows you some element of class and respect and wants to talk to you and has, you know, such a great vibe and, you know, wants to pick up dinner, then this will very obviously demonstrate their worth. You're not going to have a bunch of lizards coming out doing that because they're going to want to get it the easy way. They're going to want to get it by supping you to death, right? They're just going to sup. You want to come by? What are you doing tonight? I'm just at the house. What are you doing? Sup? What are you doing? Like those dudes, you're going to be able to figure it out. It's not going to be a problem. So it's like, listen, as far as you up, sup, you up? I'm at the place. Hey, sup. And here's another thing. There is a legitimate utility to just asking if somebody's up, if they want to come bang. There are healthy, mutually respectful relationships wherein those are legitimate elements of communication. All I'm saying, gentlemen, is have something beyond sup or you up. I have a plan. In fact, here is a great lesson. Declarative sentences. In dating, you should not have an undeclared, a non-declarative sentence in your budding relationship until after you've moved in with them. Every sentence should be, let's go to McDonald's. Let's go to this Italian place. Let's go to this other place, right? And then if the reaction is,
then you can say, okay, I have four other options for you. Do not ever let things get into the morass and abyss of what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Do you just want to come over? Do you want to come over? Do you want to come over? You will get so less slayed if you leave an empty void. Always fill the void so you can fill the void. I don't know why that's, I mean, listen, like, I made a crude gesture, but, I mean, maybe it's a finger in somebody's butthole. I don't know. That's both gender ways. We got some more emails. These are all our two emails, man. We are on the march to $700 an episode. That opens up the jury in your house door. Amos writes, "Hey Justin, everybody has been making pitches for you to go to their city on the house tour, but this is not that. F that. Straight up, move in with me. I know you have a lot of things going on in Oakland, which is fine. However, you can move across the country to live with somebody that you know nothing about. Ashley and the birds could come too if you want. Pros. You don't have to pay rent, and you can live here for free. Cons. I can't think of any. On a more serious note, I love the show. I will make it out to one of those meetups someday. I live in Grand Rapids, Michigan, so if you do a Midwest tour, that serves me just fine. I love you, Amos." Well, Amos, thank you so much for offering me lodging for free. I will run that by my wife and bird children, and we will take that under advisement. If you can't hear, Ashley is screaming no from the other room. So I'm just going to let you know it's going to be tough sledding. Jason writes, "If you're considering the South and thinking about hitting up Nashville in a city in Kentucky, then why don't you come just a little bit further south and hit up Atlanta? I technically live in Peachtree Corners, about 15 minutes OTP outside the perimeter. Or as I now know, in the Atlanta gay community, it is referred to as the Fruit Loop. But it's close enough to Atlanta. It also means you have a rad house to host it. Three spare bedrooms, so you have your choice of accommodations and a basement with a stock bar, a kind of wonky pool table, N64, NES, SNES in a corner, and a storage room with a stash of board games. Heck, I bet you I could convince my wife to let some other fans over if you wanted to do a meetup or let others watch you record live. I'm just throwing my fair city into the ring. I know you already know that Atlanta is pretty dope." Well, you are damn right that I know Atlanta is pretty dope. And if Atlanta works out, then Atlanta it will be. I'd be very, very happy to come visit you in Peachtree Corners. Oh, man. We made it, people. We made it. We made it. You have wrung me dry. Think of me as a limp, a dish rag, beat off the side, worthless, for all of its utility has been wrung from it. Of course, everybody, we would encourage you to rate, review, and subscribe to this show. Find it on Stitcher, iTunes, and the Google Play Store. Email me, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com, Twitter and Instagram at Justin R. Young. This week, I'm going to have your ability to buy a pack of jury stickers. So now is the time to pay attention to my Twitter, my Instagram, and my Snapchat. And, of course, you can join the conversation at diamondclub.reddit.com. Folks, if you find yourself getting crazy, talk about your mom, you find yourself showing up to a show that started at 4:30 at 7 o'clock, and you find yourself getting 8 sub you up text messages, well, ladies and gentlemen, remind yourself that my name is Justin Robert Young, and I am asking you with all of my heart to please go.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.